Okay, so real quick, I forgot to put this at the end, so I'm just gonna make a quick little notation here at the beginning. You can now find the Struggle Bus on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, and Radio Public. Also, if you don't have access to any of those, you can find it at anchor.fm/NIC286. That's anchor.fm/NIC286. Nick, NIC 286. Thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoy. Okay, so you have to excuse me, I'm getting over a massive cold. But I have no idea how I'm supposed to start this off. I don't know. I've been procrastinating since I made my intro. I don't know what I want to do with this. I don't, I mean, I know. I guess I just don't know how. And, so I'm just gonna begin recording, I guess, and spout off at the mouth, I guess you could say. What I want to do with this eventually is not have it just be me, because, to me, that's no fun. I mean, there's some people I can listen to that is just them, but for the most part, you know, it gets boring. I want to do interviews. And I want to start off my interviews with like family and close people to me and get their perspective on me, I guess. I have an idea of how I'm viewed for sure by certain people. But I want to give them the chance and the opportunity to tell me face to face and be honest and put it out there. And I want to have that for everyone else too. Maybe somebody else needs to hear it, you know? Maybe somebody else is out there just like me and they don't know what their people, their family and loved ones feel and think. Because I have an idea that, you know, it's got to be similar, you know? A mother's perspective, a father's perspective, a significant other, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband. And then I want to interview my best friend, first of all, who has his struggles as well. We're toxic for each other, that's for sure. And we know it. Our families and our loved ones know it. But we've been riding together since day one, literally. He is my godmother's son. He's my godbrother. And we have been around each other and hanging out and together for the most part of all of his life, the most part of mine. I think he's like 5 years younger than me. I don't know. But yeah, so I want to start like that and see where it goes from there. And you know, I've always had an idea, like I've always wanted to do something. I don't know what, but I wanted to have a presence out there. I wanted my voice to be heard by by people, by you guys. And I've never known what I wanted to do. I've had many ideas that are just me saying, oh, wouldn't this be a great idea? And then never following through, not even taking the first step in that direction. I'm obsessed with Snapchat, and for some reason, I can pour all my everything out into a 1 minute snap. I can say everything I want to say and more in under a minute. And so I guess I want to get into this segment, The Face of an Addict, which is me. And it's pretty much me owning up to my shit, my bullshit, and holding myself accountable, I guess, to do this podcast. So, have a listen.
You know what? In a moment of honesty right now, I'm the face of an addict. I won't sugarcoat it. Now, I don't have to name everything, but you name it, I probably did it. I'm not ashamed of my past. Anybody that knows me knows I'm an open book. That offends some people, but I'm okay with that. It's not their story to own. I'm owning mine, though, and it's helped me survive up until now. I love who I am. I love who I'm becoming today. But addiction does not discriminate. I will forever and always be an addict, battling my inner demons every day for the rest of my life. We have to stop pretending that addiction is something to be ashamed of. We have to talk about it. Addiction sucks for the addicts and their families. But when we silence the problem and pretend like everything's okay when it isn't, that fire grows and disintegrates everything in its path. People are dying. We have to talk about it.
Okay, so, not sure if you can tell or not, but I got choked up during that. And it's because I'm passionate about this. About trying. I'm trying. And I'm so confused as to why it's such a fucking struggle for me. How I can know and have all the information that what I'm doing to myself is basically cutting my life short. And maybe I'm just a fucking narcissist. And I love myself way more than I love everyone else. But I'm passionate about wanting people to see what it's like, I guess, for people like me, who we know what's right, we know what the right thing to do is, but we somehow just can't seem to fucking do it. They say addiction is a disease, and I don't know if I can get on that. I mean, people make bad choices. Some people make them so many times that it becomes a habit, making bad choices. But a disease? I think that throws all your accountability out the window. And I want to be held accountable. Because ultimately, I make the decision what I'm doing with my life. And, I don't know, I guess with that being said as well, I'm going to see if my wife will come out for an interview. A little backstory first. We are on complete opposite sides of the world when it comes to our upbringing. I was a latchkey kid. I didn't even have to come in when the streetlights came on. I came in when I wanted. I ran the streets. And I didn't have many rules growing up. I didn't have much guidance either. And my wife was raised Baptist. A strong faith in God. That she hasn't since lost her faith in God. I know that. She still has a very strong relationship with God. But I know that she has abandoned the whole baptism lifestyle. Baptist lifestyle, I guess. Whatever. That's the difference between us. I don't know what to believe. I don't know if I'm definitely not an atheist. But, because I believe that there's something. There's something out there that made all this. But I don't completely X out I don't completely X out that there was a big bang either, that like science is just bottom line, science, that's why we're here. Like that could very well be too. But I like to believe that there's something out there, some kind of energy that holds us together as a human race, and there's some big meaning to our lives. And she still believes in heaven and hell. I definitely don't. Yeah, so that's me and her, and she just, I don't know, my mama had always worked multiple jobs when I was a kid, and one summer she was working at an ice cream place. And I would come up there to ask my mom for some money, you know. I don't know, probably to go out and grab a bag of weed and a blunt, maybe. Something. And, you know, I would see her up there and say hi and exchange hellos and small talk here and there. And one day, we exchanged numbers. And she called me up. And we've been inseparable. We've been inseparable ever since that day. I've put her through hell. Literal hell. And she's stuck by my side through everything. And she's definitely my rock. Anyways, with that being said, I'm going to bring her out here. We'll get her perspective on all this. I have a feeling that I'm going to hear some things I've never heard before. I kind of know her view. She expresses it daily. But I have a feeling I may hear some real truth. So, I'm going to grab her. Let's do this. Okay, so we have my wife here, who's agreed to do an interview and talk about struggles. Her name is Rachel. Rachel, say hi.
Hi.
She's nervous and a bit emotional. Rachel, do you have any struggles?
I don't know.
I think everybody has struggles.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. I guess my biggest thing is that I compare my struggles to your struggles, and it makes me feel like I don't have any, if that makes sense. Like, seeing the stuff that you go through, I'm just like, yeah, I'm pretty good. Like, I don't really have much that I have to worry about. But, I mean, yeah, a lot of the stuff that I've been through has caused a lot of anger. I struggle with anger. I struggle with anxiety and depression right now, so.
Take me out of the equation. What would you say you struggle with?
I struggle with wanting to be perfect.
There you go. Because this is a podcast about all struggles. Everybody has them. We're not only going to talk about addiction as time goes on. We'll talk about everything. I hope to get people to call in and leave voice messages and let me know what they're struggling with. And we can, like, work on stuff and talk about things and how people get through their struggles. That's why it's called the Struggle Bus.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all just about addiction. But, so basically, I do want your take on myself, though, today. Maybe we'll have you back at another time to further elaborate on your struggles. So I want you basically to let me have it. Okay? I just want your take on all of it. How do you feel No, you know what? Let's start this way. How do you feel about the way me and you were raised, how they're completely different and completely two different sides of the spectrum? How do you compare the way I was raised to the way you were raised?
I mean, I don't really think there's a whole lot of comparing. They're just completely different worlds. I grew up with a family unit that I thought was super close. I had all of my grandparents, I had my cousins, my aunt and uncles, I had all of it sheltered in a little teeny tiny bubble of church. And the school that I went to was an extension of the church. So I didn't have much of a life outside of my family and church. And there was a lot of stuff that, like I said, I was sheltered from. I didn't know, you want to say, you know, worldly stuff. I didn't know anything about outside of church stuff. You, on the other hand, grew up being able to do whatever you want. Going places, acting however you want. We were very disciplined, my sisters and I, very, very disciplined. And I think that's the difference in how we approach our life in marriage now, is that I'm a very disciplined person. I want things a certain way. And you're just kind of like flying by the seat of your pants type of person, just going out and doing whatever you want, coming and going as you please, and not really feeling like there's accountability. You don't really ask my permission. We don't really talk about things. You just kind of ask for forgiveness. And me, I'm the complete opposite. If I even want to go see my family, I want to ask you if that's okay. If I want to go out and just go grocery shopping, I'm going to let you know. Like, if I'm going anywhere outside of the house, I want to make sure that you know where I'm going, because we're married and I feel like that.
But I also let you know that you don't have to do that, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, I feel like that's how it's supposed to be, though.
Right.
When you're married, you should have that communication where you're just gonna be like, hey, this is where I'm going. You know, there.
So would you say we're still on opposite sides of the spectrum, then?
100%.
All right. But we make it work for some reason, somehow, somewhere.
Oddly, it works.
Still love me?
I do.
I love you, too. So when we first got together, you knew everything I was into, and you kind of knew what you were getting yourself into as well.
I got to cut you off for a second, because I didn't know. You got to think, coming from somebody that's sheltered, somebody that doesn't even know what weed is, somebody that doesn't know.
Okay, let me reword it then. I never hid any of that stuff.
Right.
If it was there, it was in the open, and I explained to you what it was. And
but I didn't ever understand what addiction was. I didn't understand the depths of what was happening.
And then trouble for me started to come along, and I started to get locked up for these things. And getting myself into trouble and dragging you along with it. And and it was time for me to put some shit to the wayside. And I did. And that's when we started realizing what struggle was. That I was struggling with putting that stuff to the wayside. Mm-hmm. Struggling with quitting certain things and certain habits, certain lifestyles. And so we won't go into detail what that brought on in our lives, just because we're not there yet. But I went 7 years, pretty much, clean and sober. 7 years. And then one day, I flipped a switch and I went back. I went back out. And I was open and honest with you when I did it too. I said, I'm going to go back. I'm going to do this. And I pretty much left you no decision in the matter. And I went out and I said, I got this. I'll be okay. And here we are, I think 7 or 8 months later, struggling.
Yep.
What, how does that make you feel?
The first word that comes to my mind is betrayed. I'm hurt and makes me feel like I'm not truly loved. That you can choose to go out and make these choices to keep using while I'm sitting back at home breaking. It's upsetting. Then it hurts.
Do you see the struggle, or do you feel like I'm not trying at all?
I think it's taken me a long time. At first, I didn't believe that, I truly didn't believe that addiction was a struggle. I thought addiction was 100% just a choice. You're choosing to not get help. It's a mental thing. Like, all you have to do is tell your mind to not. That's how I see it.
That's the confusing part for me, too.
If you tell yourself you're not going to use, don't use. Like I said, I'm a disciplined person. If I tell myself I'm not going to do something, I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. But seeing you and seeing how, I don't know, I'm sorry, but like weak you are to the drugs, it makes it, I see the struggle. It doesn't make it easier for me, but at least, I don't know. Sometimes I see that you're trying. Sometimes I don't think you are. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think you've completely given up and you could care less.
I've never given up. But yeah, that's basically nail on the head. I don't understand why I do it neither. And I am trying. I've sought help. I've been to rehab twice. Once before the 7 years. And once, I mean, granted, it wasn't for long, but I tried to do it recently and just wasn't able to. And I thought I could just do it on my own. Like, hey, I'll just make the decision to not use. And it's just not that fucking easy. And I can't explain why. I have no words. I can't explain it. It's confusing to me, and it's it makes me angry at myself. And I can't look at anybody in their face. I can barely look in the mirror at myself in the face. Because of the same exact words you use, it, I'm weak. It's hard for me to look at myself knowing that I'm that weak to something that I have full power and, well, not, I don't have full power and control, but like I could make the decision to just not. Which I have many times. Every day I wake up, I make that decision. And have no idea where the next 24 hours are going to take me. And next thing you know, here we are. And that's the hard part for me too. So, what about... So how do you feel about me doing this podcast?
I'm hopeful. I think it can be a good outlet. I think it can, in a sense, keep you accountable to yourself. So, I mean, yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see where it goes. And I really do hope it helps.
Me too. Okay, how are you coping then with all of it? In the midst of all this, how do you cope?
Crying, a lot of crying. I don't know. I've been all over the place.
You don't talk to anybody?
I mean, I'd say for the first couple months of stuff, I kind of hid away from everybody. I didn't, I guess, want to accept that it was going on. I was ashamed. I was embarrassed that that was my life again. And so I just chose to tell a few people that I knew would keep it close to them. And that's it. And then I would say, middle to end of January, kind of reached out to a counselor, was going, we were going together for a little while, and I don't know if it was helping. I don't know if we didn't stay long enough. I don't know if it was, I wanted to go to a counselor so that I could finally speak to you and have a mediator there so that it wasn't constant yelling or bashing of me when I would speak my mind. But then that kind of fell to the wayside, and so I started getting angry. I started getting really angry, and things just didn't get any better. I was promised that, the drug use would stop, and it didn't. And I was promised that it would stop, and it didn't. And so the trust for me was completely destroyed. And it took a lot, but finally I was able to come to realization that like I needed to reach out to within my faith to God and just start crying out and asking for help because I was at my lowest point. I was so angry, I was so lost, I felt nothing. I felt empty and alone, 100% alone. And in doing that, I started feeling better. I was able to, my mom came alongside me and helped, make sure I had verses every single day that I could read to stay positive that I wasn't alone. And then kind of through that journey, then I found a Al-Anon group, and that kind of has helped me at least give me some guidance and some steps in my own journey of, detaching with love and thinking about myself in this whole process and making sure that I'm okay, not worrying about you all the time. I've kind of had to take a step back and I try not to question you on every little thing that you're doing because it only hurts me. I can't keep that heavy weight on my back anymore. I gotta think about myself and I gotta think about, the kids, and I can't be a good mom if I'm not in a mentally good place. And so I feel like the last month, maybe I've been doing a lot better. I am doing a lot of things for myself. I started painting, and that's helped me a lot with being able to relax, and
And
it's
you're good
something that
too.
I love,
Yeah.
and so
You
it's been
started selling them.
helpful. Yeah.
Starting to sell them.
Starting to sell some paintings.
Yeah. Well, you pretty much answered my last question perfectly in there, but what advice would you give to others in your position?
Don't shut down is the biggest one. Reach out to people and just be surrounded by people that love you and people that are going to be there for you. And if you believe in God, then you need to reach out and just pour your heart out to him because he's the only one that will help you through it. And He's the only one that's ever going to love me the way that I need to be loved. And also finding a good Al-Anon group is important because you'll be surrounded by so many people that are in your same situation so that you don't feel alone.
Good. Well, I think this was good. How do you feel?
I feel good. I still feel like there's a lot that we need to talk about.
What is it? What do you feel that we may have missed that you want to put on here?
I don't know, just how incredibly difficult it is to be married to somebody that's an addict. It's hard. This marriage that you thought was going to be two people that were a team, and it's not. It's you, all alone, carrying the weight of everything on your shoulders, and it's exhausting.
Has it been like that the whole 12 years?
I wouldn't say to this extent, no, but in some...
When I'm in the midst of my...
Some using... degree, I mean, throughout all of our years together, 13 years together, that I've always been the adult in the relationship. Would you agree?
Yeah. Those are other struggles that I have as well. I have many
and
struggles.
So, yeah. I mean, it's just, it's hard because I have kind of put myself and you, I've never fully made you do and be your role as a husband and a father. I've kind of just had to step up to the plate and I've taken on all the roles. And you have just kind of like been okay with it. And so it just leaves me to feel, you know, like I said, alone and wanting that partner back, wanting to do this as a team and be able to talk about things without there being crazy arguments. You know, I understand arguments are a necessity in marriage. But when you can't even talk about the little tiny things, it's hard. It's hard to not have that communication. And
would you say, though, that those are problems that we mainly have when I'm using?
I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. Any other final parting words?
Not really.
You'll be back.
Yeah.
Frequently. We'll get your take on a lot of things to come.
Yep. We've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah. And who knows, maybe I'll get you to start one too. For the people out there in your position.
Got a crazy 13 years.
Yeah, we do. A lot of stories to tell.
Mm-hmm. It's only just beginning.
Yes. I love you.
I love you.
I'm thankful. And I know I tell you all the time. I don't show it in my actions, but I say it a lot. I mean, I'm grateful for you. I know I'm a lucky, lucky, lucky person. And there's not a lot of people out there that get to have what I have and or will ever find what I've found in you. And I appreciate it. And I'm grateful. So, till the next time you're on, we will end this interview here. Fair enough?
Sounds good.
Okay. Okay, so there's that interview, and you know, I thought that I would hear some things that I haven't heard from her yet, and that, if I'm being honest, wasn't the case. But I still feel deep down that she isn't, I'm not, I don't want to say she's not being honest, but she's definitely holding back, I feel. And I know that, you know, that's some pretty harsh, raw stuff in there. It's nothing I haven't heard from her yet. And it honestly, it still hurts every time I hear it. And I still feel all the shame and guilt that I felt every time before, that I feel every day. But, yeah. Hope, I'm gonna have her on frequently, like I said, and, cause, you know, I want her to talk about her struggles too, outside of her struggling with my struggles, because that's not her choice. Like, those are, I make her struggle in that sense with those things, and that's not fair. I understand that. And, I don't know. I hope to hear soon, get my mother, my father, even my grandma. My grandma actually had a huge part in raising me, and I would love to, and she doesn't even know everything. Like, I don't think my grandma truly knows that I've gone back out and that I'm here again. But, she will. She's gonna. And I hope to get a chance to have all of them on for interviews and get their perspectives and their advice and learn what their struggles are. And yeah. I think I'm gonna wrap this episode up here, and I'm not going to do any editing except for a tiny bit in there. I had, when we were doing the interview, I had started to wrap it up in the middle. And only because I got to a point where I'm like, I don't know if I should ask these other questions about the coping. And like, I don't know. I just, I started to wrap it up there in the middle. And I want to take that part out because I wrapped it up in the end anyway. So yeah, I'm going to do that and get this episode published and get it out. And, yeah, you guys have a good one. And, we'll see, next time, I guess. Later.